this. Reporting in progress.
Well, good afternoon. I'm very glad to be here to see all of you. Attendance is down just a bit, it appears, but again, that in part that goes with the time of the year, and some may already be heading for the feast. By the way, good afternoon also to those of you connected on the web. Good to have you. I would like this is indeed only a sermonette. This is not a split sermon. What I would like to do is draw just a couple of lessons on a good feast attitude from Nehemiah chapter 8. I, on occasion, review this. I think these are amazing events that occurred back during the time when a contingent of the Jews were allowed to go back from Babylon to rebuild the temple, to rebuild the wall there at Jerusalem, and also to restore worship there. And every time I read this, certain things jump out at me. And so what I want to do in the sermonette is just cover two specific lessons for us today from Nehemiah chapter 8. Now, I'll bet you're already there. It does seem like the very end of chapter 7, last half of that last verse, might be the actual beginning. But if you want to glance at that, just prior to chapter 8, it says, when the seventh month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. Now, I'll note that because, obviously, that is the time of year that we're in. Now, continuing, it says, now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in the front of the water gate. So we've got unity here. They were all in, so to speak. They gathered again as one man. And some instruction was given, middle of verse 1. They told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So they're bringing out the scrolls, if you will. And he begins to read. Verse 2, so Ezra the priest, and he was indeed a priest. First verse, he's called Ezra the scribe, and he was filling that role too, but more importantly here, he's fulfilling the role of the priesthood. And again, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women, and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. So they began this on the day that we've already observed back on Monday, the Feast of Trumpets. But this goes on. Matter of fact, this chapter covers everything through the end of the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 3. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday. I'm going to pause there a moment. From morning until midday. Now, our own UCG Bible commentary says that duration of time was about 5 to 6 hours. I'm drawing some lessons here, but let me continue for now. I'll finish reading verse 3. After I read from morning to midday, it continues, before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. I find this rather amazing. What's your attention span? From dawn until middle of the day? Now, I apply that to myself, too. As you are, I'm preparing for the feast. I actually put out instruction to the men who will be speaking at the small site there in Sturgis to watch whether they're doing sermonettes, splits, or sermons, to watch their time, because we've been given instruction on that from the home office. And then I read this. And there's a lesson here. The people were hungry, and they remain attentive. There's a lot in these short three verses. Now, skip to verse 8. So they, now we find in between there are more men than Ezra reading and working with the people. So now it says they, verse 8, read distinctly from the book in the law of God. And they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. So they're performing the role of the priesthood in that era, the ministry today, and others assigned to speak, to not simply read, but expand upon it so that we can all learn more about what God's word really means. Verse 9, and Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. This had an incredible impact on them. Note again, not only the attentiveness, even in this long reading and exhortation from the Word of God, but the impact it had. They cried. They cried. We presume because there's a lot of restoration going on here, not just physically of the temple and the wall and so forth, but getting back to understanding, and not only understanding, but practicing the laws of God. And here it includes keeping of the holy days. And they just cried. And again, I think about that because I'm in a rush to prepare for the feast, as we all are, right? And sometimes, because so many of us have done this for years and years and years, it all becomes a matter of routine. But we have a holy day yet coming up, this coming Wednesday, the Day of Atonement, and then, of course, the Feast of Tabernacles and the last day. What impact will it have on us? Again, some lessons here, keeping the feast from Nehemiah 8. Being attentive, listening, and not only that, letting it have an impact on us. Now, for these people, it may have been a rekindling of love, if you will. First love, and that phrase is in the Bible, clear back in Revelation. But that's good. But we don't want to let it go. So think about that again as we continue the fall holy day season this year. Will we be as attentive and serious about learning as those ancient people of God were? I only have two main points. I've covered one, the second point. I want to note that as I read the next two verses, next three actually. Verse 10. Then he said to them, this again would be Ezra, after they heard the word and they're crying. And he said in verse 10, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the Levites, verse 11, quieted all the people and said, be still, for the day is holy. Don't be grieved. And then verse 12, again, the people listened. It says, all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions and rejoice greatly because they understood the words that were declared to them. So now they began to observe the feast with joy, the holy days with joy. I would like to go back and note one phrase, middle of verse 10. Here's part of the joy of the feast. Yes, we know we're to eat the fat, drink the sweet. It's a time when we have our second tithe to spend, and for the, you know, most of us, we can eat and drink like We don't in another time of the year. Not you know, excessively. Don't get carried away with that, but the quality of it and so forth. But that next phrase, send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. That means to look around during the feast, to look out for those that, and that gets a little sensitive, but those who just may not have the good amount of second tithe, to rejoice as the rest of us do, and to include them. I was thinking this through as I put together some notes, and I think this is a good admonition. Pray that you can discern this. People are quite often pretty reluctant to ask, but pray that you can discern someone in need. And you know what? It's not always monetary. Sometimes someone just wants a friend, just wants someone to sit down and talk. It's pretty easy at the feast sometimes to just, you know, associate day after day with a small group. Include others. I don't want to expand on this too much because I don't have time. But again, verse 12, they did it. They went their way, and it says, and they sent portions and rejoiced greatly. Notice how that contributed to the overall rejoicing of the feast. Now, I'd like to conclude the end of the chapter, verse 17. It says, so the whole assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. Again, they had to relearn this. Temporary dwellings. I don't have time to expand on that, but we will do the same, except many of us will simply be in motels, rented homes, or a campground perhaps. But again, this matter of dwelling in a temporary place. These would be temporary shelters here, the booths. And then it says, for since the days of Joshua the son of Nun, until that day the children of Israel had not done so, and there was great gladness. Plan on that. When we follow the instructions of God, this will be the result. Great gladness. Verse 18. The teaching continued. I noticed this again as I was preparing. It says, also day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read from the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast. This is obviously now the Feast of Tabernacles, because they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner. So what we've covered in this one chapter, and reading only 8 to 10 verses from it, tells us an awful lot. These two specific lessons again. Strive for this attitude. They were hungry for the word. Now granted, we don't know all the background, but in many cases, many of them perhaps hadn't been taught this way for a long time, or possibly not at all, depending on their age. But it's so inspiring to me how they reacted. Strive to have that attitude again. We don't have services from dawn until noon. But remember this, please, when you get to the feast, and drink it all in within that hour and a half to 2 hours that we have each day. Two services on the last day. It's pretty light duty, my friends, compared to what these people were doing. And then once more, look after others. Look around you. The principle of sending portions to those for which nothing has been prepared is, again, another lesson I just wanted to repeat. And you know what? We do this. Maybe we'll come home. Indeed, I hope we do. And say we had one of the best feasts we've ever experienced.